Okay, today's daf is Ksubis daf Ayin Ches, and we start the eighth parak of Maseches Ksubis. As we have noted, every parak is its own world in the larger context of Ksubis and marriage, and this parak starts off relating back to issues that have come up in previous prakim, and that is Nichsei Malug, Nichsei Tzon Barzel, rights of a wife in properties that the husband also has rights in. That's the first Mishnah here in the parak. The Mishnah starts off by talking about four different cases in terms of when a woman has properties that are given or are found in her reshus in some way, and what are her rights in terms of when she gets it and when she acts and does something with the property. So just remember, the Nechsei Malug and the Nechsei Tzon Barzel are two types of Nechasim that a woman brings into the marriage. The Nechsei Tzon Barzel are the Nechasim that the woman wants back, that value of property upon death or divorce, and therefore she records it in the ksuba. It's like barzel, it's like iron that stays with her. Those properties fully go to the husband, right? The kinyan aguf is to the husband. The husband can do whatever he wants with them, but if there's a death or divorce, if he dies or he divorces or in the future, then he has to supply that value. It's that value is barzel for the woman. Nechsei Malug are different. Nechsei Malug are not recorded in the ksuba. Nechsei Malug are properties that stay belonging to her. She has the kinyan aguf in them, but the husband is allowed to eat the halachic peros from these properties, the profit from the properties, the shevach from the properties, and he has a kinyan peros in them. That's the malug. Malig is to pluck. So he plucks off the peros. Those are the two types of properties. So this Mishnah that we're talking about is about the Nechsei Malug, which is the more lumdish property to talk about, in that it belongs a little bit to both of them, right? She has the nichsei, she has the kinyan aguf, and he has the kinyan peros. So the question is, what happens if she sells some of these properties? After all, he has rights to it. So is she allowed to sell it and undermine his rights that he has in these properties? So the Mishnah says it all depends when these properties come to her and when she sells them. And keep in mind, in the days of the Gemara, Erisin and Nisuin were done 12 months apart from each other, so there was a lot of time in between to make sales and make other transactions. So the parak starts off. Parak Ha'isha. Ha'isha she'naflu la nechasim ad shelo tisaris. If a woman gets nechasim before Erisin, ad shelo tisaris. So how does she get the property? Sorry, so the literal case of the Mishnah is Nafla Nechasim. It sounds like Yerusha. Sounds like her ancestor died, and she was the Yoresh. The Mefarshim point out that it doesn't, Lav Dafka means Yerusha in any way. The Tosfos Yontif here, great commentary on the Mishnah, says either it could be a Matana, she got a gift, or Mitzia, she found something. Anyway, that she got a property before Erisin. So, as we will see, that is most hers. That's the strongest property that she has the strongest claim on, because when it came into her reshus, she wasn't even mu'uras yet. She wasn't even mu'uresis yet. It's really focused totally on her. So, modim beishameh ubeisilel, shemocheres v'nosenes v'kayim. So, beishameh beisilel would both agree, right? This is alluding to the next line of the Mishnah, where there's a machlokas between them. They would both agree that mocheres, which means lechatchila, she could sell these properties, vinosenes, or give this to somebody, vikayam, and that transaction stays. Because this is hers before, she has the kinyan aguf, she had this full kinyan even before Erisin took place, so even though she sells it, obviously after Erisin, right, before Erisin, nothing to talk about, she's not married yet at all, but even if she sells it after Erisin, because it came into her reshus from before Erisin, so that's why she has those rights, lechatchila, to sell the property, and obviously if she can sell the chachila, the transaction is valid, and it stays with the buyer, with the receiver of the gift, etc. But what about the next permutation? Case number two. Naflula Misha Nisarsa. What if the woman received property after Erisin? After Erisin. So that was a little trickier, because after Erisin, she's already considered on a Doraisa level, Kinyan Kaspo of the husband, which has many different ramifications in Halacha, right? What we discussed at length earlier was Achilas Truma. On a Doraisa level, she could eat Truma if she is an Ashes Kohen. Midrabanan, we say that she should not eat Truma for one of the two reasons we mentioned, either because Shema Yimzagu, maybe she's going to give some wine, some Truma wine to her family members, and that could lead to problems, or number two, Simpon, maybe he'll find a mum when Nisuin takes place, and he'll undermine the whole previous Erisin, and she will not have been able retroactively to eat Truma. We had a machlokas earlier, if you remember, between the Mishnah Rishona and the Mishnah Achrona. The Mishnah Rishona said that those gzeros elapsed after 12 months if for some reason the husband did not marry her. And we said, is that because there's no more Shema Yimzagu because he's going to be Miyachid Hiramakom? Is that because of Simpon? That's the we discussed that then. But Mishnah Achrona said no, up until marriage, so we don't. Up until Nichnas Salar Shusa, we don't allow her to eat Truma on a Darabanan level. But on a Daraisa level, as we know, Erisin plays a major role. So, Mishin is Arsa. What happens if she receives properties after Erisin? So that's a machlokas. Beishamai Omrim Timkar. Beishamai says in that case, she can still lechadchila sell. Because after all, it's only after Erisin. That's only the first stage of marriage. Yes, they're married, but she still has independence. So therefore, Timkar, Ubeisil, Omrim, Lo Timkar. And Beisil says, no, in this case, she would not be able to sell Lechatchila. Not Lechatchila. Says the Gemara, Elu Ve'elu Modim, Shemachra V'nasna Kayim. But they both would agree that if she did sell, the transaction is valid. Right, that is case number two. She gets property after Erisin, she tries to sell it, machloka the shabbi sell and chila, bid the eved it for sure works. Who is the, let's see, according to Beis Hillel, who is the Isser on? Meaning you might say it's also for her to sell it. What about the buyer? What if I know the woman got properties? Am I let her go and, you know, it's her problem. Is that lifnei iver? Lifnei Iver of an Isser Durabanan. So the Tosfos Yontif discusses this, and Rabbi Kiva Eger on Mishnayis. He says, L'kach mafarish de lo timkar lav adi dakai de ole ein anu yecholon limchos avel lulokeach habali malech de mochin anu lo. The real center of Isser, says the Tosfos Yontif, is the buyer. With her, how can you fault her? It's her property. It's her property, and she has needs, and she has whatever reasons that she wants to sell, but a third party getting involved in the relationship with something that belongs semi to the husband and semi to the wife, you know, that shouldn't be done, says the Tosfos Yontif. So Habali Malech, if somebody comes to ask, Mochen Anulo, right, we protest and we say, don't do it. Vahave lo timkar klomar eina yechola limkar. She'ein kone, she'kishaba kone liknos, ubali malech, and he comes to Bezin and says, is this a good idea? Amar le shalo yikne, she'chazaka shala inamo elas lelokeach shu kisafik. Right, her chazaka, fine, she has certain rights to it, but you're coming as a third independent party. The husband has rights, the wife has rights. What are you getting involved for? Right, it's nichnas l'riv lo lecha, and therefore says the Tosfos Yontif right here on our Mishnah that he shouldn't, this third party shouldn't get involved. And the Rebbe Kiva Eger has a comment on that Tosfos Yontif as well. So that is...
Is it
Isser and not Mamon? So it starts off as an Isser, as a Mamon. Meaning it's a monetary that she's not allowed to. But once she's not allowed to, so we tell potential buyers they can't do this. It's us. It would be in Dini Mamonis, but sometimes in Dini Mamonis you have cases which are usher to sell. Like here, because it belongs to somebody else. Somebody else has a hand on it too. If you sold it, then it works. But, you know, we'd rather her not sell it. Let's just finish this category, this case. Amar Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda comments, Amru Chachamim Lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. He quoted the Chachamim, who said to Rabbi Gamliel, why should this work? Why should this work that if it is sold, everybody agrees that it is Kayim? Ho'el v'zacha b'isha lo yizke b'nachasim. The Chachamim say, if he, the man, b'shas erisin, is zocha in a wife, for many different halachas, as we'll see in the Gemara, he shouldn't be zocha in her property. Meaning, what's the pashtus? The pashtus is at least asking, well, what is it asking on? The Gemara is going to discuss this. Is it asking on the second part of this halacha or the first part of this halacha? Is it saying, why should be the evident work? After all, he has rights. He married her. He's the Arus. Or is it asking even on the lechatchila of Beis Shammai? That is not clear. The question is that the Chacham asked Rabbi Gamliel, he has rights, he is zocha in a wife, so why shouldn't he have rights in the Nechasim? And the answer given, Rabbi Gamliel gave to the Chachamim, Amar lahem, al hachadashim anu boshim, ela sha'atem magalgin aleinu es hayishanim? What does that mean? Rabbi Gamliel says, we're upset, we can't fully understand, literally we're embarrassed about the further cases in the Mishnah, where even Nisuin is involved, and the husband is able to undermine and take back what the wife tried to sell. So we're going to see that we're even upset about that case. So you're trying to bring in other cases that he's going to be able to undermine? No! We don't think that the husband should be able to undermine. That is all case number two. So let's talk first about a Tosfos and then about a Pnei Yoshua. Tosfos here asks, just a question from outside. Right? What is the halacha here? Beis Shammai says it's allowed. Beis Hillel said it's not allowed. Why isn't this, asks Tosfos, in the name of the Yerushalmi in Peah, why isn't this in the list of the Chumras of Beis Hillel and the Kulas of Beis Shammai? We know those are far and few between. Right? Few and far between, and whenever there's a whole list of them, but there are not too many of them. So like the first parak in Beitzah discusses it until we sometimes, according to some days, we switch them. But why isn't this one? This is a Chumra. Rabbi Sham Beis Hillel says she can't sell it. And Beis Shammai says he can. As Tosfos, Zechas Peah the Yerushalmi, Parak Beis Shammai. Bairi Tanchum. That case over there is one of the cases. That's why it's discussed there in Peah. Right? The first Mishnah in that, one of those Prakam in Peah is whether if you're mafkir something just to Aniyim, not to Ashirim. Hefker Laniyim, is that Hefker or is that not Hefker? So that's a machlokas. Beis Shammai says it is Hefker. Right? So that's a cool law of Beis Shammai. He allows. Hefker Laniyim Hefker. So yes, Tosfos. Amai lo tani lo gabi dvarim shemi kula Beis Shammai mechumre Beis Hillel. Omar lei. So what's the answer given there? Lo tani el adavar shehu chomer mishnei atstadim. The kal mishnei atstadim. A chomer and a kula is only if something's objective. If you have two people involved in something, then you can never call it a chumra or a kula, because whatever is a chumra to A is a chumra is a kula to B, and vice versa. So that's why here v'hacha kaliisha v'chumra labal. It's a you're going to say, oh, Beis Hillel is machmir, he can't sell, but that's a kula for the husband that you're making her not sell. So you can't call that a chumra or a kula. So that's why that is not on the list. You can even expand this to a hashkafic message, and that is, we have to make sure that every chumra that we take upon ourselves, if we choose to, is not a kula in some other area. Now, many times we find a chumra, you know, really ends up being a kula. Somebody's going to be so machmir in a certain area, right? The source of this already, that the Avos Rabbi Nassan says it's chava. Chava was machmir. Chava said that I'm not even going to touch the tree. And it ended up being a big kula that she couldn't even, you know, keep the basic din that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told her. We find this many examples of a chumra da asi li de kula. We have to make sure that our definitions have a wide range of view, and we can't have something that is a chumra that ends up being a kula. Somebody's going to be so machmir, the Chafetz Chaim writes in various of his svarim, so machmir to stay up at night and to learn, and let's see, it's going to be a kula in a shachris. He's going to cool about that. He's going to be on time for davening and have kavana. Right? So we have to always, in our lives, make sure that the chumra is appropriate for us and that it does not step on any other halachic value or something that we also believe in. Again, a major topic that we've touched on in the past. But that's the hashkafic nugget that comes from this line of the Yerushalmi, that you have to make sure what your kula is and what your chumra is. Tosfos continues and says, what about the case of Hefker that's discussed over there, where Beis Shammai is mafkir to Aniyim. So, and that works. It's Hefker for the Aniyim. And the Gemara calls that Hefker for the Aniyim and a kula for Beis Shammai and a chumra for Beis Hillel. But 1 minute, that's also a case that involves two people. Right? If you say the Hefker works, so then it's a kula for the Aniyim, but it's a chumra for the Baal HaBayis. So why does once you're telling me that whenever it involves two people, you don't call it a chumra and a kula, so why there does the Gemara call it a kula and a chumra? The answer is, Amar Lei, ain't a chumra la balabayas. You don't call that a chumra for the balabayas, because that's exactly what he's trying to do. Or they, oh, it's a chumra, that it doesn't work, that it works. No, shemi daita hu mafkir. Right, he's trying to be mafkirit. So you're not going to say that that case. Here, in our case, you have the man and the woman are against each other. But there, he's trying to be mafkirit to the Aniyim. So they're both interested in the same thing. So that's why you wouldn't call that a chumra or a kula. Okay, and the Tosfos discusses what about an earlier case that we had in terms of the two Shabbos, one Shabbos, but we'll leave that for now. Number one. Number two, the other point is the more svara point on this category two here in the Mishnah. Again, what's category two? She gets nechasim after erusin. She sells them after erusin, before nisuin. Nisuin is not here now, so what's the halacha? Machlokes about lachachila. B'di'evet, we say it definitely works. The husband cannot be motzi it. And then the chachamim say that, what do you mean? the man should be able to be motziyet. And Rabbi Gamliel says back, but what do you mean? We can't fathom even after Nisuin. Surely after Kiddushin. What's the basic punchline of this category that Rabbi Gamliel says? Misvara, what would we say? Misvara, what would we say? We should say the woman has rights. Right? Well, because what does Rabbi Gamliel say back? We can't even fathom why the husband is allowed to undermine the sale after Nisuin. So surely after Erisin, you're trying to bring in other cases? So in Svara, says the Mishnah, the Svara that we would have said, if we wouldn't have known, is that the woman's rights should be strong, and the husband shouldn't be able to undermine that. And I asked the Pnei Yeshua, I asked the Hafla, why is that? Why would we say that, so to speak, a priori, before we look into the Makaros, and before we think about it a little deeper, why is it that the woman's rights... Right, after all, the husband has Kenyan Paris, the woman has a Kenyan Aguf. We're talking about Nichzei Malug. So why in Svara would we say that she has the rights? L'chara yesh l'tamua. Atu Rabbi Gamliel bosh midivrei chachamim be'ikar takanas isha l'baila. She halacha psuka to takana. The husband has rights, has Kenyan Paris. So what's so bad? Why do we say that that the woman should have the rights misvara? So two ideas. Number one is the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua here says, Ulafiz al karchav tzorech lomar, what I think misvara is the takana. You know how you formulate the takana of kinyan peiros for the husband? The chachamim instituted kinyan peiros for the husband when the woman has a kinyan haguf. When the woman has a kinyan haguf in something, so the man has a kinyan peiros in that property. But the problem is, the Rabbanan never, at least the Svara in the Mishnah right now is, they never said that he has limitations on her Kinyan Haguf. She should have rights to do whatever she wants. And therefore, if she sells it, Mamelo, she doesn't have a Kinyan Haguf. Mamelo, the husband doesn't have Kinyan Peros. The Takana, that's the Svara given by the Mishnah, says the Pnei Yeshua. The Takana is that whenever the woman has a Kinyan Aguf in something, the husband has Kinyan Peros in that property. But who says that the woman's Kinyan Aguf is limited so that she's forced to hold on to it? That's what he said. Sarach Lomer. Tiafilu achikam Rabbi Gamliel ala chadashos anu boshin. Shesover. Nehi de tiknu chachamim peiros isha labayla. Hainu. Shekolz man. Sheguf hakarka birshusa. Yochala peiros. That's the takana. Aval ein levatel hamachira bishvil takana zu. Tehemamru vehemamru. So it says the Bnei Yeshua, that's the problem of the Mishnah. I don't understand. Fine, there's a Kenyan peiros, but why should that limit her Kenyan haguf at all? That's one formulation. The other formulation is given by the Hafla, Rebbe of the Chasam Sofer, says the Hafla, relating back earlier to what we said. Remember back in the fourth parak, we had all the Lashonos of this is Mesukan, Mezonos Keneged this, and this Keneged Pirkona, everything is Keneged. And the Gemara dealt with what's the Iker and what's the Tafel, what's the Hashlama. Right, what is the ultimate reason that Chazal said what they said? So says the Hafla, the ultimate reason of this Takana Mistama is for her benefit. Mistama is for her benefit. So the Shaila is, if it's for her benefit, why can't she do whatever she wants to do? For Niskashu Amafarshim, Bosha Zulama, right, this is the Pei Yeshua, he doesn't quote him, V'chi Lesler of Gamliel Takanas Peros, V'lanias Daiti, he says, what he's really bothered by is Kiva Damru Chachamim Peros Taches Pirkona, the reason that the husband gets Ikinian Peros is because he has a Chiv to redeem her, V'takanta Didahi, the whole framework is really for her. So lama lo tuchalomer, and he wrote it, but takanas chachamim, ve'eni niftes, ve'eni nosin peiros. Why can't she be in control? She could say, I'm not interested in your chiyuv to redeem me, and therefore, you know, peiros goes to you because of that, I want to keep my peiros. Meaning, at root, the benefit of the takana is hers. That's primary. And we just want the husband to be happy doing it, so we give him something instead. But, says the Hafla, but if she chooses not that way, so we should allow it. The Chashuk and Chemed even discusses, what about Bizman Hazeh? Where we know, Baruch Hashem, you know, it's not so common for people to, off the street, Rachmon al-Islan, it does happen, Rachmon al-Islan, but it's not so common for women to be kidnapped. Right? So what if she, could she say Bizman Hazeh? Well, doesn't really come up. So, you know, I want to keep my Paris. So do we say that because the reason doesn't really apply anymore, so she has that right? Or even if she originally had that right of, you know, it's in her, like, the question of the Hafla. So that's the Chashuk Yechemet deals with that a little bit here. But we'll continue. So That's all the first two categories of the Mishnah. Again, category one, she has property before Erisin, she sells it after Erisin. Category two, she gets property after Erisin, she sells it after Erisin. Category three, as you might have guessed, Naflula Mishenises. What happened? We go to the extreme case first. What happens if she gets property after Erisin? So then, that's the most clear. Elu ve'elu modim shim machra v'nasna shabal motzi mi'ad alakuchos. Category three is everything happens after Erisin, and for sure the husband, even though it's nichse malug also, let's say it's nichse malug, and the husband only has kinyan peiros, but still, if it came into her rishus after nisuin, she was already a nesua, she was already a full eishus ish, so therefore we say he has the rights. He has the rights to uproot. You might say, the Gemara will talk about this, that the husband is considered the first lokeach, and therefore he has the rights to prevent the other lokeach, the buyer, from keeping the property. And finally, the fourth case, ad shelo nises v'nises. What happens if she receives property during Erisin, let's say, and then Nisuin occurs, and then she sells it? That's a little trickier. So Rabbi Gamliel Omer, imach rav nasna kayam. Because she received it before she was in a suwa, that's good enough to allow her sale to be effective. Right? You still keep the roots of that sale. Right? You might say, what do you mean? Nowadays she's married. So what difference does it make? Right? When she got it. No, but this whole idea, remember, is a takana d'rabbanan. So d'rabbanan make rules. It's not a dindar. A dindar isa is, it doesn't matter when I have something. It's mine now. I can do whatever I want with it. But mid'rabbanan, the question is, what happened here? So Rabbi Gamliel says, it's valid because it came to her before Nisuin. Amr Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, same lashon as before. Amru lefnei Rabbi Gamliel. Ho'el v'zacha b'isha lo yiske ben achasim. Why shouldn't the Baal have veto power? Why shouldn't the Baal be able to undermine the sale? After all, he's zoche in the isha, even b'shas erisin. So lo yiske ben achasim. Amr lahem. And he, again, the Rabbi Gamliel answered the chachamim ala chadashim anaboshim. We're even upset in the case of she gets the chazim after Nisuin, and she sells it after Nisuin, that the Baal could be motzi that. Ela shatem magalgalin aleinu hayashanim. You even want to stretch this into an earlier case? No, we don't want to talk about that. Right? It doesn't say that these chachamim in the Mishnah argued. Lamaisa. They were just bothered by the Svara. The Gemara will mention that. There's no one out there that argues. It's just a question of the Svara, which they didn't understand. And finally, the last line of the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon cholek bein nechasim lenechasim. Rabbi Shimon is machali between different types of properties. Nechasim, how you doing, Labal? Nechasim that the Baal knew about. Lo timkar v'machra v'nas nabatel. Those she can't sell. And if she did, is batel, because the husband knew about it, and he was focused on it. And therefore, she cannot sell it even with the evet. She'ini yaduan labal, o timkar v'machra v'nasna kayim. But if the Baal didn't know about it, then she shouldn't sell a chachila, because theoretically it's still called nichse malug. But if she sold, so then the sale is valid. So those are the four cases regarding the woman's power of selling nichse malug. The four permutations, before Erisin, after Erisin, and after Nisuin, and the overlap of Erisin to Nisuin. Maishna resha de lo pligi, maishna sefer de pligi. Ask the Gemara, why is it that in the first case, in case number one, category one, where she received before Erisin, and then after Erisin she sells, everybody agrees that she could sell a chachila. Even Beis Hillel agrees, no problem, she can do whatever she wants, even though she's an arusa now. But in the second case, where she gets property during the time of Erisin, Beis Hillel says the chachila she should not sell. What's the difference? So Amri debe Rabbi Yanai, Reisha bischusa naflo. Reisha, in her pure schus, it fell to her. Rashi, adayin lo haya zakai bishela, v'lo ba, ela hi atzma. He is not zochin anything of hers or her at that point. She's an independent individual when she got this. So that element remains, even after she's no longer. Naflu, Seifa bischuso naflu, but Seifa, it was in, he had rights also. As we know, the Baal has rights in terms of Haras Nedarim and elsewhere, and other halachas. So that's why there is at least a limitation on Eilachat Chila. Says the Gemara, im bischuso naflu kimachra v'nasna maikayam, if we really think that his chus is significant during Erisin, so why can't he prevent it b'di'eved? Why do we say only the chachila? She can't sell, but if she sold, it stands. So Ella, we modify. Reisha vade bischusa naflu. the Reisha, meaning before Erisin, she is for sure independent in her own Rishus, and that element never leaves. But Seifa, Eimar Bischusa, that's a great line. What does that mean? Erisin is a somewhat limbo, unclear, ambiguous, double ownership period. Erisin's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. A little bit she's still independent, a little bit the husband also has rights. We know Erisin is not fully Nisuin, but it's also Erisin. She needs a get, Chas v'shalom, if something happens right now. Right? So, Eimar Bischusa, meaning it's like Suffolk Nisuin. Why is it such a suffix? So Rashi has an interesting formulation here. Rashi, Erisin oses suffix nisuin. Why? Shema tavo lidei nisuin, shema lo tavo. So Rashi's focus is on the future. You know why Erisin has this status? Because you're not sure if it's going to lead to nisuin. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. Right? It sounds very practical in terms of the, what if you were a Navi and you knew vaday for sure that this was going to lead to nisuin? What if you were a Navi? Would you say it doesn't have this status? You know for sure. Does Rashi really mean what he says? Shema yavo, shema lo yavo? Or maybe there's something deeper in Rashi. What Rashi seems to say, and others who don't have Rashi's formulation might mean this, and that is no. Erisin inherently is a suffix status. Erisin inherently has some elements of marriage and some elements of independence. And that's why it's suffix. Bishalah, suffix, bishalah. What's the mashal that we like to quote? Benash mashos. The Ritva, in Mesechus Yuma, Mem Zayinish, right? So what does the Ritva say there? What's Benash Masho? Safek Yom, Safek Laila. So what does that mean? Does it mean that, oh, if a Navi would come down and say, no, at this second, it's really Yom. This second is really Laila. No, it could be, and Rav Soloveitchik was fond of quoting this Ritva, and others, that no, Benash Masho is a Din Safek. It has both elements. It's what we might call an androgynous. An androgynous has elements of the shita that says birya bifnei atzma, right? That not suffik zocher suffik suffik nekeva. Inherently, it has both elements, and that's how Hashem created it. It's a din suffik, and therefore, it's not that you're really not sure. You are sure that it is a suffik status, right? That's what androgynous is. That's what benash mashos is, and maybe that's what the Gemara means here. That's what erisin is. Erisin has a din suffix, and therefore there are some halachas that it's enough to have the baals, some of the baals rishus, and it's enough, some halachas need full rishus. So depending which halacha, what is told on hafara sedarim, and mitziyah, and all the other halachas, and shruma, obviously on the deraisa level, it's enough for truma, for this. But that's an important Rashi, and it also relates to the sugya of how much are erisin and nisuin, two parts of one process, or two separate elements. The fact that Rashi links it to Nisuin seems to point to the fact that it's really one long process, at least in Rashi's view, if you take it literally. That's a crucial discussion in Rashi. So because of this status, that's what we say, Lachadchila lo timkar imachra v'nasna kayam. Right? If she sells and then she gives it, then it would be valid. The Sha'ar Mitzvah Halacha here quotes, what do you see from this whole idea that sometimes, especially from the Rashi, a future zchus might or might not have impact on a present status? Right? We've said it, discussed, and the Gemara discusses, sometimes a future destiny has a present impact. Kol ha'omei listrof kesarof dami. If you have a chiyuv to burn something, then right now it's considered already burned. Kol ha'omei ligzos kegazos dami. Right, kol ha'omed to be cut from the tree is considered as if it's cut already. So we have that in halacha sometimes. A chiyuv. Here is not a chiyuv. It just means a future zchus. A future zchus that the husband would have. He has certain zchus in the future, so does that impact. So it says the Sharm Sinai b'halacha. Mashma mikan, de'ein zchus alas elios. So that future zchus, is not full. That's why the woman can sell it now. Even though the husband will have a future zchus to prevent it. But now it works. So he says, but what about, we know, says in Shmos, "Behotziacha esa'ami Mitzrayim tavdu es Hashem al harazeh." Right, when you leave Mitzrayim, then you're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. And Rashi quotes there in Parsha Shmos, "Bizchus sheyikablu haTorah laasid bizchus ze yatzu miMitzrayim." Bizchus that you're going to get the Torah in the future. That's why you were zochet to leave Mitzrayim now. So that's a future zchus that impacts right now. So it's a little different than our case, where the husband's future zchus does not impact. That's mixing halacha and agada, but
He's allowed to. V'yesh l'chalek bein ish yachid l'klal Yisrael.
He says maybe there's a difference between klal Yisrael and an individual rights. When it comes to klal Yisrael, Kodesh Baruch Hu could use future schuyos for us. Masha'enki, when it comes to a yachid. Or, he quotes his son, she'yesh l'chalek bein inyin mamon l'inyin pidyon gufa mi mitzrayim. D'lazeh mahani gam aschusim la'asid, u'lazeh lo mahani aschusim de'la'asid. Okay, give me a chalek between, halacha and hashkafa, between yachid and tzibur, between, you know, kinyan aguf, pidyon aguf, and kinyan mamon, one might say. Okay, let's continue. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar l'fnei Rabbi Gamliel. Says Rabbi Gamliel in the Mishnah. Again, what did we say? The Chachamim said to Rabbi Gamliel that Hoil v'yizke b'zacha b'isha, right, that since this arguing, right, this is case number two, arguing on what is said there, in the case where property comes to her after Erison, and that's when she sells it, and the Chachamim say, what do you mean, why shouldn't he be able to have veto power? Since he's Zoche, and the woman, the wife, he should be Zoche in her properties. So, asks the Gemara, which part of category two are the Chachamim arguing on? That's what we said outside before. Iboilu, Rabbi Yehuda ala chadchila o adi eved. Is Rabbi Yehuda, meaning the Chachamim that are talking in front of, in the name, the Rabbi Yehuda quotes, are they bothered by the bidi eved, the fact that it works, and they say, why should it work? The husband should be able to say that it doesn't work. Or are they also arguing on the beishamai, that she shouldn't be able to sell a l'chadchila, right? He should be able to prevent the l'chadchila, right? So they're saying the husband should have power, but is it on the l'chadchila of Beishamai or on the b'di'evit of both of them, of Beishamai and Beishilo? So Tashma, so the Gemara says as follows, I'll bring you a raya. Titania, Amr Reb Yehuda, Amru l'fnei Reb Gamliel, so the Tosefta, which many times has parallel discussions, but sometimes more elaborate, says Beferish. Hoil, you know what the svara for the Chachamim are? And we're going to have to talk about this. Hoil v'zuishto v'zuishto. Since a Nesua is his wife, and an Arusa is his wife, so why does there be such a difference in this case? Zumech rebatel, av zumech rebatel. That's what the Chachamim are saying. Meaning, it's going on the bidieved. It's going on the bidieved, that it shouldn't work. Just like Nesua, it doesn't work, so too here. And Amar Lahem, and that's why Rabbi Gamliel argues, Ala Chadashim Onaboshim. We don't even understand the case of Nesua. Elisha Atem Magalgalilin Aleinu Asayishanim. You're trying to extend it? Shmamina, the Eved Ka'amar Shmamina. So you see from that Lashon, the Tosefta is going on the Bidi Eved. Ask the Shidabu Kubetzes here, what's the Havamina? That's the pshat of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is saying that the Chacham and the Mishnah are saying, well, what's the difference between Erison and Nisuin? If it doesn't work by Nisuin, it shouldn't work by Erison. There are plenty of differences between Erison and Nisuin. After Shin Lukuban says, what is the Havamina? So he says, Afalgav, that always means implicit question. Afalgav de'ika hefresh tuva bein arusa l'nisua mikol makom. So what do you have to answer to that question? Regarding this halacha, there shouldn't be a difference. Of course, there are differences, and the Gemara acknowledges those. But mikol makom le'inyan ishus shavin hein. At least regarding the status of marriage to prevent these sales, it's a limited question. It's not saying what's the difference between Erusin and Nisuin, obviously. But regarding this, tichihechi dinisua asura l'chol ha'olam hachanami arusasu asura l'chol ha'olam. Just like an arusa is asur to everybody in the world, so too a nisua, so too an arusa. Behind the Kamri, whole of a Jewish toe. That's what it means. That there's a parallel between them. Since Nisuin is asa to everybody, and that prevents her sales, so too, Erison is asa to everybody, and that prevents sales. And then the Shidi says even something further. V'od, kivan de omedes linasei, kinesua damya. Ooh, that's a key line. Since she's, and it relates to that Rashi that we just said. Since she's omedes linasei, we give her the status. Kinesua damya, ukishakasu atosus lael, vikolshakain, kibet the kvarnises, hare lamafreya, nidona haarusa kinesua. And especially once Nisuin takes place, we should be able to retroactively look back at Erison as a pre-Nisua stage. An amazing Lashonos of the Shita. First he says there's a parallel between them, then he says there's an identification between them. Not just a parallel between them, but there's an identity. Since Arusa, at least in Nisua, Arusa should be considered Nisua already.
Amazing lashon, but that's the trying to explain the Gemara b'shem the Chachamim. Ho vizuishto. Right, I can't learn Maseches Ksubis or Kiddushin without this line of the Gemara and the Shita Mekubetzes. Right, there's an identification between the two, but either way we say so. It's going on the Bidi'evet. So this is just to note. The Gemara discusses whether this sale, and the Mishnah here is discussing lechatchila b'di'eved. When it comes to transactions, we could always talk about lechatchilas and b'di'evets. Also, when it comes to mitzvos, we could talk about lechatchilas and b'di'evets. Just to note, the Tosfos in Maseches Nidah says when it comes to a matir, we can't talk about lechatchilas and b'di'evets. Meaning, let's say lechatchila to go to the mikvah, lechatchila to do this, b'di'eved to do that. You don't have that, says Tosfos at the end of Maseches Nidah. You don't have, a matir is a matir. Either it works or it doesn't work. Either it's matir you to do something or it's not matir you to do something. By a mitzvah, you could talk about a better way to do it and a less better way to do it. Right? By a mitzvah. Lechadchila, you should, let's say, it's an assumption, but let's say chalitza is a mitzvah, not just a matir. But chalitza, there's the lechadchila way to do it with the kriyas haparsha and the chalitza and the rakika. You have to take off the shoe. The spitting is a machlokes, but the kriya of the psukim, that's lechatchila, but the evet for sure you don't need that. What do you mean? The answer is, mitzvahs, there are better ways to do mitzvahs and less better ways to do mitzvahs. But when it comes to a matir, says Tosfos and Nida, samach vavim abeis, the kibun to be the evet tohar lechatchila nami lo boy, v'talo tfila. Right? Shalot pida torah elashi yitaher ha'adam. Right, you can't say that. Avo bila mikra bikurim v'chalitza mitzvos ninu. Hilkach lechatchila levid. Right, so that's an important line in Tosfos, which all the Achronim pick up on. Lechatchilas and b'di'evets could apply to transactions, like we have in our Gemara, in our Mishnah, and it could apply to mitzvos, but when it comes to a matir, that's not so clear. And that comes up in many discussions where we're not sure whether something is a mitzvah or a matir. There's a machlokas in Rashi and Tosfos and Maseches Chulin by Shchita. By Shchita we know you have to cut Rov Simanim. Got Rov Simanim of the animal, the two pipes. What about lechatchila? The Gemara says there's a lechatchila to cut all of them. So is that a din d'oraisa or is that a din d'rabbanan? A din d'oraisa or d'rabbanan? That's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos. Whether that's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan. So what would that machlokas be about? D'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Right? It's a machlokas in Chulin Chav Zayin Amad Aleph. Right, afal gav de nogeya. Right, l'shchita simanim sherub shalachad kamo. I dav gav de yavel lachadchila binyan shishchot. It's called a simon. So machlokas Rashi Tosfos, whether that's a daraisa derabanan, suggests the Leiv Aryeh in his commentary on Chulin. Well, maybe that's gufa machlokas whether shchita is a mitzvah or a matir. Because if it's a matir, you can't say there's a lachadchila way to do it on a daraisa level and a b'di'evet way of doing it. So the shita that says that it's only a din derabanan holds that because it's a matir. And on a daraisa level, you can't have a difference between a mitzvah and a lachadchila and b'di'evet. But the shita that says it's a daraisa to shechta all the simanim holds because shchita is a mitzvah. It's not just a matir. Rav Shechter in the Ginas Egos in Simon Aleph, he talks about all the cases of mitzvah and matir. He talks about shchita and chalitza and pidyon meiser sheni and afreshes truma and other cases about mitzvah and matir. Okay, we'll see at the end if there's more time to go through any of those cases. Probably not. Let's continue. Tanya, Amar Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, lo kachi shivan Rabbi Gamliel lechachamim. No, our version in the Mishnah, right, is not correct. What did the Rabbi Gamliel answer the chachamim? What was our lashon? It was just one conversation. They said, "Oh, there shouldn't be a difference, right? He should be able to have veto power." And Rabbi Gamliel answered, "We don't even understand nisuin, let alone erusin." So says Rabbi Chanan and Akavya. There was another stage of the conversation. This is what he said to them: "Elakachi shivan lo imamartim benisua," meaning undermining the basic premise. There's a difference between erusin and nisuin. Right, we have the amazing Havamina explained by the Shita. But there's a difference. Lo imamartim b'nesua shekein ba'ala zakai b'mimitziyasa uba ma'asiyoteha uba afaras edareha. Tomer ba'arusa shein ba'ala zakai lo b'mimitziyasa v'lo b'ma'asiyoteha v'lo ba'afaras edareha. Right, he says back to them, there's a difference. Don't compare to me, Erisin and Nisuin. Just because you have a problem with Nisuin doesn't mean that Erisin is exactly the same thing. Amrulo, so these chachamim continue back and say, Rabbi, machra ad shelo niseis. Aye, fine. That helps with a case where she sold before nisuin, meaning category two. But niseis, v'yakach machra ma, what about the case of she gets it before nisuin, but she sells it after nisuin? So what about that case?
Right? Why shouldn't you say in that case that the husband has power? So Amar Lahu Avzu Mocheres Bnei Senes V'Kayim. That's what our Mishnah said. Even in that case, she could sell a Chachila. Amar Lo, and they say Hol V'Zachah B'Isha Lo Yiskev Nachasim. Why should that work? Because this is even about Nisuin. Amar Lahem, and Gamliel answers to that Alach Hadashim Unavoshin. In the case where she received the property after Nisuin, we have trouble understanding the halacha. Elo Shatem Magalgan Aleinu Sayishanim. Right? You're Magalgal the Yishanim. Meaning Gerbachanim and Akavya adds in a couple of lines of conversation between them. Period. One little detail, though. In this formulation, we just said that in the case of she gets property after Erisin, and she sells it after Nisuin, so it says, Mocheres v'nosenes v'kayam. That's a little different than the formulation of our Mishnah, where it says, Machra v'nosna. She could do it b'dieved. So that's the Gemara's question now. Right? Ama v'hanan t'nanat shalo nises v'niseis. Rabbi Gamliel Omer Imachra Venasa Kayim. We had in case number 4, if she gets property after Erisin, she sells it after Nisuin. So our Mishnah says, B'dieved, it's okay. The Brisa here says, B'dieved, it's okay. So two answers. Amar Zvit Tani Mocheres Venasa Kayim. Either switch our Mishnah to be even L'Chadchila. Rav Papa Amar Lokasha. Har Rabbi Yehuda Alibad Rabbi Gamliel. Har Rechanim and Akavi Alibad Rabbi Gamliel. It's two versions of Rabbi Gamliel. Right, so therefore, that's why, don't ask me any kashas. Says the Gemara, 1 second. So you're telling me that in the Brisa, Rabbi Chanana ben Akavya, in the name of Rabbi Gamliel, says that if a woman gets property after Erisin, and she sells it after Nisuin, she can sell that lechadchila? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya, ke Beis Shammai. Is he holding like Beis Shammai? Meaning, even Beis Hillel says, after Erisin, lechadchila is no good. So the only person this might be like is Beis Shammai. We'd rather not say that. So Hachi Ka'amar, Lo Nachluko Beishama Beisil Al Davarzeh. No, Rabbi Chanina ben Akavya would argue on that machlokas. He would say there's no machlokas about Beishama Beisil. He would say even Beisil agrees like Achil is okay. And therefore, that's how we wouldn't be holding like Beishama. Period. Rav Ishmuel, another related statement. Rav Ishmuel Darmi Travayu, Bein Shanafel Anachasim Achalonis Arsu. Whether she got nechasim before Erisin or after Erisin, and then she has nisuin, habal motzi miyad alakuchos, the bakami motzi. That's Rav and Shmuel. Ask the Gemara. That's not like anybody. Everybody in our Mishnah in category 4 agreed that b'di'eved her sale works, and here Rav and Shmuel says her sale does not work. Keman dolok Rav Yehuda, dolok Rav Chanina ben Akavya. Even the most flexible shita, Rav Chanina ben Akavya, does not say that it works. That it does not work, right? Like either case. So the Gemara said, right? Shnei, they both said that mechra kayam, and here Rav and Shmuel say it does not work. So inu ta'amri krabo seinu. There's another daya in the Tanoim out there. Like Rabbi Seinu, Ditani, Rabbi Seinu, Chazru, Benimnu, Bein Shunafullah, Achelot, Tesares, Bein Shunafullah, Mishnesarasa, Veniseis, Habamos, Yimadal, Kuchos. Okay, so Rav and Shmuel have another Brisa to hold like, and therefore they could argue on the previous Brisa and on the Mishnah. The Ritvi here wonders why didn't they just say then, Halacha, Rabbi Seinu. Why they say it as if it was their own Shita, right? They said, we have to say, oh, it's like Rabbi Seinu. Says the Ritva that maybe not everybody was familiar with this Rabbi Seinu. And that's why they had to clear it up. He says, "Pirush lefish lo haisa brisa drabosenu shigura bemedrish asa'ua memra v'lo amar alacha grabosenu." Right? Not everybody would have known what they were talking about, so they just said their own shita. Period. Two dots. Mishenisay zeilu beilu modim. But if she received property after nisuin, then everybody agrees she has no rights. Right? That if she sells it, this was category 3. Right? Category 3 in the Mishnah. Eilei lemodim, the Baal is mostly miyad alakuchos. Says the Gemara, lema tanina la takanas usha. Our Mishnah then supports takanas usha. Some say there's a question here, meaning what do you need takanas usha for? It's in the Mishnah, right? Dam Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina, we had this earlier, remember back on Daf Mem Tesma Beis and Daf Nun, all the takanos. Hiskinu ha'isha shemachra b'nechsei malug b'chaye b'ayla, a woman who sells nechsei malug in her husband's lifetime b'meisa, and then she dies, habal mosi miyad alakuchos. Right, so how do you put together? What was Takana Zusha adding? So says the Gemara, Masnisan Bechayehu Leperos. The Mishnah is just about talking about while she is alive and for Peros. But I would have thought maybe once she dies, then the Lokeach does get it. Because the husband's only rights are through her Kinyan Aguf. Then he has Kinyan Peros. But maybe once she dies where she loses her Kinyan Aguf, then he loses it and it goes to the Lokeach.
That's what Takanas Usha added. Takanas Usha, Begufa Shel Karka Ula Achar Misa, allows him to have rights in the guf of the karka and even after Misa. Right? That's Rashi. Rashi says here, Masisan Bechayeha Ka'amar, Habal Motzi, Kadelechol Peres Bechayeha, Ula Achar Mosa, Yachzir Hakarka Lilokayach. That's what I would have said if I just had the Mishnah. The karka would go back. V'yafilu meisa b'chayev lo yireshena habal. V'yasa usha v'tikun da'afilu gufishal karka yoresh habal. The Baal gets it. He's considered the first lokeach. Good. Finishing up, Rabbi Shimon cholek bein nechasim v'chulu. Rabbi Shimon is b'chayev between different types of nechasim. Elu ain't you doing, elu she'ain and you doing. What are considered known properties? What are considered not known properties? Amar Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Chanina. You doing mi karkai, she'ain and you doing metaltalin. Maybe karka. Karka is always known, is yeshla machrayas, and metaltalin is not known. For Rabbi Yochanan Amar, no, elu ain't you doing ain. He could also know about metaltalin, know about properties that she brings in. So ve'elu ain't she'ain and you doing. No, not you doing means kol she yoshev es kan v'nafla nechasim in Medina Sayam. In a different country, in a Swiss bank account. Right, that's what ainim you doing. Says the Ritva, these are all just examples. Right, for Medina Sayam doesn't mean literally Medina Sayam. It can be here too. Lav dafka, hu adin shenav lakan v'lo no du labal el d'urcham demilsa naka. Tanya nami hachi, elu ain't she'ain and you doing kol she yoshev es kan v'lo nafla nechasim in Medina Sayam. Right, as long as the husband doesn't know about it, so that is considered ein and yiduin, and according to Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah, b'di'evit, that sale would be valid. It's only the yiduin labal, the sale would not be valid. Okay, we'll have to stop here. Hashem, we will continue with further in this eighth parak of Maseches Ksubis tomorrow. Okay, we'll stop here. Parsha Shir, I guess it's from this week, should be up.